Jason Lee Podcast.
Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Jason Lee Podcast. Whew, ready to go. Got my little, I don't know what kind of collar this is. Listen, I am back, ready to work, so excited, still trying to figure out balance. That's the new thing that I'm trying to figure out, how to be the vice mayor and the voice of the culture at the same time. Pop culture and politics is just finding a way to bring it all together and still maintain my sanity. I've taken down the date, Jason, at Hollywood Unlocked podcast because we only got 2 emails. And it's okay. It's not because I'm not cute. It's probably because the first week we did it, Johnny didn't put it up, and then y'all got exhausted because I know there were probably thousands of people.
For sure.
Trying to date me. Either way, I don't want to date anybody. I'm single, at least this week, and I want to remain that way.
Yeah. What about for Valentine's Day is coming up? You don't want a Valentine?
Nope.
So you have to spend money on somebody? No.
Then again, I changed my mind. Yeah, I do. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Rob and I have had this running joke that we're going to be the Golden Girls when we get older. We're just going to be the chocolate brown boy version of it. Yeah. Because, you know, do you think you could live in a house with you and your single friends as elderly people?
Maybe. Yeah.
Would you still be on dating apps as an elder?
Absolutely.
Really? What if they would come and rob you for your AARP card?
Oh, they're not going to rob me. I have a loaded pistol.
Oh, my God. Ain't nothing like a senior citizen with a loaded pistol and bad vision. Beware of all of that danger. Okay, listen. We're going to get straight to it because there's so much to get into. I'm not going to bore you with all the things I'm doing to change my city. You can go follow me on the District 6 page. It's time for the Tea with Jason Lee. All right, 2025 Grammys was a hit. I'm gonna go ahead and give you guys a round of applause. Listen, the Grammys rarely get it right. And I am one to critic. I am a culture critic, so I'm the one that's supposed to criticize. I have to tell you, I have been texting everybody from The Weeknd to Harvey Mason to Andy Cox, who runs all the media there. You guys did a phenomenal job. But I also want to give an applause to the Hollywood Unlocked team. We're also killing it. Marina, Johnny, Keisha, all y'all. You guys get your flowers too. Why?
Thank you.
Because my team killed it at the Grammys. Now, if you've been following my career for a long time, you know that I was one that was a big, big champion for representation and inclusion on the red carpets. It goes all the way back to when I was on The Breakfast Club, where I talked about how they treat black media, non-black media, black-owned versus black targeted on the red carpet. And one of the main people that I had this whole debate with was the Recording Academy years ago. And then they invited me to become a member. Then I became a member. Then I started talking with them about why it was so important for representation. And I have to shout out Andy Cox, because she has taken the lead in making sure, along with Harvey, Valicia Butterfield, that we have access not only on the red carpet, but we have built out our own situation. And if you haven't seen it, I'm sure we have some assets here to show you. But we have our own built-out stage right there on the Grammy red carpet, one of the biggest carpets of the year when it comes to awards. And right between the Associated Press, we're coming for you in a minute, and Billboard and others. And I think we were the only black-owned platform on the red carpet, which, you know, we got a little bit more work to do, and maybe people ain't got it in their budget, but either way, we were there. And Hollywood Unlocked had such a successful night at the 2025 Grammys, and my team, again, killed it and were there. They did all the behind the scenes. They had live updates rolling at the same time, and we had everybody from Kalani, Don Lemon, Glorilla, Tims, Money Law, Rich the Kid, Vibes Cartel, Cynthia Erivo, Wayne Brady, Deborah Cox, Kai Cenat, Cardi B. Everybody showed up. And everybody stopped by. I also want to shout out JT from the City Girls, who I also text this morning. Thank you so much for showing up. Well, Cardi was there, and on her way to the carpet, I made sure to tell her, don't you get there and not stop by. She talked to us about the new album that I know she's working on, but this is what she had to say about it.
Nominated for a Grammy, and I know you mentioned on Instagram, this is your light work. How does it feel?
This is my light work. You know, I only put like one single out last year.
Okay.
Yes. Y'all need to thank my daughter. Because I was going to do my big one last year, but y'all got to thank my daughter.
Okay, she took a little time off, and now she's back.
I'm back.
When is the album coming out? We need a time, date, place, when?
It's going to come out this year. It's going to be amazing. It's practically wrapped up. We're just waiting on certain things, because when I announce my album, everything got to be ready for order.
And what should we expect? Are you going to talk about your life, your relationship, your fun? And who are you dating right now?
I'm not.
You know we have to ask.
Am I dating?
Let's know the tea.
Huh?
Let's know the tea.
I don't know what I'm doing right now. I'm just living.
Well, Keisha clearly asked two different questions back to back. She's still getting her chops together. Yes, the album is coming. Several songs. I'm not going to tell her business, but it's coming. And I'm glad at the fact that Keisha asked the question of who she's dating, because again, on the carpet, I'm tired of people asking what you're wearing, this and that. Get straight to the T, because you got them right in front of your face. And Cardi evaded that question. Well, she also spoke with us about this whole situation that went down with Babyface, which we're going to get into in a second. Let me tell you, what happened with Babyface was probably the most disrespectful thing that a trained journalist can do. So I'm assuming that the Associated Press did some kind of national search for fans who wanted to go to the Grammys. Well, this is what happened to Babyface on the red carpet, if you haven't seen, getting snubbed by some Associated Press. Take a look.
Yes, I think it's interesting.
Travel.
You guys want to do that? Go do that.
I'm so sorry. Hello. How's it going, Travel?
Hello.
Let me just tell you what was happening. Babyface was in the middle of an interview with the Associated Press and these three people who clearly are not fully trained. And they were asking him questions. And as they were talking to him, they saw an artist named Chappell Roan. I don't know who Chappell Roan is. You probably do. Do you?
No.
I know what the Chapel is. It's a gay club in West Hollywood. I don't know what Chappell Roan is. I know this person is a big artist from what I understand. And the makeup and the hair is distracting. I don't know. But either way, when you're on the red carpet at the Grammys, let me kind of set the stage. You're doing your thing, and behind you is a lot of activity. Taylor Swift is running by. Beyonce may show up. She don't come out there with the public. But there's so many artists running by that you're trying to grab people as you can in real time. And it's so there is a lot happening, right?
It's stressful.
It is stressful. But when you're in the middle of an interview, it is highly disrespectful to be looking around the person you're talking to, mm-hmm. to find other people, to pull them in or to cut an interview short, mm-hmm. especially when you're talking to an icon. Did you see it? You were there.
We were there, and we, you know, Babyface is a good friend to our show, so, and to you. So I was like, okay, he's talking to AP, and then I'll give it like 5 minutes before he comes to us. But he came like right away.
So you saw it.
I saw it. I just didn't know what was going down because you can't hear. You know, we were in our own interview. But we would never, ever, ever do that. No matter how big, small, iconic, young, old the artist is, never.
Yeah, and then it was her body language the entire time. Like, even before she acknowledged Chappell Roan, she was like turning to the side, ignoring Babyface, and he was in the middle of answering a question. It was just so unprofessional.
And he just started talking.
Yeah.
Like, he was 5 seconds into his answer. He just started his answer.
I don't care who you're talking to. It could be it could be anybody on the red carpet. When you're talking to a talent and you're talking to them about whatever's important to them or you at the moment, to do that was highly disrespectful. Well, on the way there, I saw that Cardi had gone into Hollywood Unlocked's comments, and she had said the reporter was a lame ass. So I screenshotted and I texted to the team and I said, Cardi's on her way. She's 15 minutes out. Make sure you ask her the question. And of course, Cardi didn't disappoint. This is what she said.
Just so you made a comment because they just cut off Babyface. You were like, lame ass.
Yeah, like girl.
That's crazy.
Like, girl.
Not an icon.
Honey, Jason Lee will... he will kill you.
He's gonna kill me.
Sure will. My team, they just don't do that. Like, you know, Keisha, shout out to Keisha who did... Let me give Keisha a round of applause.
Mm-hmm. Keisha did that. Don't you look sick?
Keisha manages the content here at Hollywood Unlocked. She did her thing, and I love the fact that she went right into all the questions, the mm-hmm. timing of everything. My team killed it, and now that they have shown me that they can do it without me... I'm out. They don't need me anymore. This is what it feels like when you raise a kid and then they're 18, like, bye. You know what I mean?
I feel like this is what you've always wanted, but now it's like, dang, it's here.
We're the little chicks that can fly out the nest.
How often do we talk about being able to just back the hell out?
Yeah.
And so this is what I was talking about when I said I'm stepping back from Hollywood Unlocked and the whole internet was in shambles. He's leaving. He's quitting. I can't quit what I own. But I am stepping back. And now I feel, okay, great. But here's the caveat. Marina got to be on all the carpets producing it. That's it. So congratulations. All right. Well, look, the AP reporter later apologized to Babyface. What y'all think? Look.
I want to thank you, but first I wanted to say that I'm really sorry about interrupting Babyface earlier. Chapel Roan had come up, and there was a lot of commotion, as there is on these carpets, but I'm a big Babyface fan, and as are we all, and so I just wanted to say that, that I really apologize. But thank you so much for having me, you guys. It's been great.
You've been wonderful. Thank you so much, Krista. Yeah. It's been
great having you on here, and you know...
I just had a thought, and I'm going to say this, and I know it's going to go viral. Do your thing, TikTok. Okay, I'm going to set this video up for you to rewatch it, but I'm going to introduce it differently, okay? Okay. Take a look at this video, which is the same look that Michelle and Kelly gave Beyonce when she told him she was leaving the group. Take a look.
I want to thank you, but first I wanted to say that I'm really sorry about interrupting Babyface earlier. Chapel Roan had come up, and there was a lot of commotion, as there is on these carpets, but I'm a big Babyface fan, and as are we all, and so I just wanted to say that, that I really apologize. But thank you so much for having me, you guys. It's been great.
You've been
wonderful.
Thank
you so much, Krista. Yeah. It's been great having you on here, and you know...
Yeah. It hits different, right? Play it back with no sound. Okay, listen, I love this group and they were great. They were there when I was, you know, starting up. I didn't really need them. I mean, these two girls, I mean, they're just taking up all the space, all my money. I thank all of them. Thank you for your time. And you know what? You guys were great. I'm out of here and good luck trying to find things to do. And, you know, probably won't ever call you again. And maybe if I do, good luck and you're lucky. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Any questions? Okay. That's it. That's how it goes. Well, now, as if that wasn't enough, AP, the Associated Press, which, by the way, for those of you that don't know out there in TV world, Associated Press is the association of all the press. So when it hits with them, it hits the whole world. They had to release an official statement. This is what they said. We are deeply sorry for cutting our interview with Babyface short on our YouTube live stream of the Grammys red carpet. We have apologized to him through his representative and to our viewers on the live stream. Well, I don't know if you saw this, but during the interview with Babyface, let me play this video back one more time. I'm going to show you the video where he was talking to the AP folks. Just listen very closely to what he said. Listen.
Yes, I think it's interesting.
Chapel.
You guys want to do that? Go do that.
I'm so sorry. Hello. How's it going, Chapel?
Hello.
Oh my gosh.
Good. Babyface said, go do that. After he said that, it went viral because D-Nice took that line and posted this. Babyface said, go do that. Now, the one thing I will say, and people will probably wonder, how did Jason Lee Babyface become friends? Yeah, he was on the Jason Lee show. That wasn't what did it. We went to lunch afterwards. That lunch, that two-hour lunch where we both saw how petty we could be, that's when we knew we were kindred spirits. But Babyface is not messy. You know, I'm a little bit more out there. He's not messy, but we are kindred spirits.
Yeah, because when he came after, now in retrospect, he didn't say like, oh my God, look what they just did. He just was very classy, came and was like, I've been waiting to talk to you guys and talk to us. So he didn't even throw shade at them immediately after.
Well, aside from all that drama with Babyface, another black legend that went viral was our boy Ye. Now, Ye, friend of the show, you already know. He hit his first Grammy red carpet in 10 years. You remember him and the Recording Academy fell out, and he's not been there in 10 years. And he was with his wife, Bianca Censori, at the time. Now, they made a very interesting stop at the Grammys. In case you missed their outfit, take a look.
Okay, right in front of you. Can we see the fashion? Over the shoulder now. Let's see the outfit one time, Bianca. Let's see the outfit.
Beautiful.
And over that shoulder one time.
Over the shoulder.
Who knew a new dress would make so much noise? The couple then made headlines after it was falsely reported that they got kicked out of the Grammys because they weren't invited. However, this wasn't really true because Ye's song Carnival was up for Best Rap Song this year, which is why he was there. So Ye went on and blasted our friend Don Lemon, blaming him for the false reports and even called him a coon. Look, this is the goofball that started the rumor that me and my wife got kicked out the Grammys. 3 decades of innovating music and they always coons like this. Well, good Donnie clapped back, calling him a Negro and everything. Look.
First of all, Kanye, Ye, whatever your name is, I did not start a rumor about you being kicked out of the Grammys. I actually corrected it. I saw someone on your team who asked me to correct it because it had been reported everywhere. So, first of all, get your shit straight. And you, of all people, calling me a coon. Negro, that Make America Great Again hat must be too tight on your head.
Don't we like this version of Don Lemon?
I love Don Lemon, who is free of trying to be polite for political reasons for TV shows. I love this Don Lemon.
Well, Ye scrubbed the post from his Instagram, but Don continued to drag him because that's what you do when you're on your own platform. Take a look.
Kanye West has removed his tweet or his whatever he, yeah, it was a tweet, gone. And I just got the text from his people last night, and it's showing me that's what they sent. We are taking care of this. And he removed it because they know he was wrong. Now, I appreciate you taking it down. Right? I appreciate you taking it down. But I don't appreciate you, of all people, calling me a coon. You can talk to people any way you want. You can tweet or write about people any way you want. But don't come for me unless I send for you. Now check that.
Leave Don alone. Just leave Don alone. Don didn't fit. Don posts more on his social media than I do. Got me thinking I should be posting that. I mean, he posts walking down the hallway. He posts eating breakfast. Don is going to post. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, let me just, I don't want to burst your bubble, Donnie, but Kanye posts and deletes all the time. Once he puts you on blast and we all pick it up, he goes on to blasting somebody else. That's just who he is. But either way, it was a great moment for you. Now, what actually happened at the event with him when the rumor was that he got kicked out is that him and Bianca only came to shut down the carpet and leave. So after they got their viral moment with her wearing the new dress where, you know, she clearly had her stuff semi covered up or blurred. And I guess he spent lots of time designing that. They got out of there. OK, so the next morning, Ye told Instagram that he and his wife were the most Googled and that they beat the Grammys in being most Googled. Well, yeah, you weren't the only one who won big that night. And I'm surprised you didn't stick around because you were one to disrupt the MTV Awards years ago when Taylor Swift won over Beyonce. Well, this year, Taylor Swift presented to Beyonce. So if you would have been there for that, you could have jumped on stage and reenacted that whole moment. Because Beyonce, Kendrick, Chris Brown, all of the people that have had issues with the Grammys in the past or may not have shown up as the top billing on the Grammys actually won. Chris finally won his second Grammy of his career. I'm going to give him a round of applause. Mm-hmm. For Best R&B Album with 11-11, the deluxe album. I think you did right, Grammys, by acknowledging Chris. BET didn't do this, but the Grammys did. And then Kendrick, he brought a broom to the Grammys because he had a full suite, winning all five nods. I'm going to give him a round of applause. And he won five Grammys for a song about Drake
allegedly
being a pedophile. And Drake has a beef with the Grammys. So was it payback? All of Drake's enemies are linking up. Jay-Z with the Super Bowl, the Grammys, everybody's linking up, and it is a bad year for Drake. 2024 ended in a homicide. Now it's a mass shooting. Well, where's it at? Sorry, I have to do it. Drake, it's a massacre at this point because Kendrick won for Song of the Year, Best Rap Performance, Best Rap Song, and Best Music Video. And if anyone was wondering what Drake's daddy, Dennis Graham, thought about it, well, he actually got caught in the streets, and this is what he said. I don't care nothing about that shit. That ain't got nothing to do with me. All the best to him, man. I don't do that bullshit. Listen, Dennis be unbothered. Dennis ain't checking for the drama. But going back to Kendrick, had a phenomenal year. Song wins all five categories. He came out winning. Not only did he do the sweep and have a phenomenal year in 2024, going into 2025, killing it, wearing a Canadian tuxedo, mm-hmm. which was another shot at Drake. You can't even get the award and just walk off and be gracious. You had to wear a Canadian tuxedo. You didn't even announce that it was a Canadian tuxedo. They found it online. But either way, you know, KDOT is having the last laugh, not only for winning the five Grammys, but with that Canadian tuxedo, he just made us all want to go and check on our friend. Did you know at the top that that was a Canadian tuxedo, or did you find out later with everybody else?
I always knew what a Canadian tuxedo was, but I never clocked it until the internet.
It's like
did.
Denim on denim, right?
Yeah, it's just a denim on denim.
Well, for those that don't know, we got the video for you. Take a look.
He's wearing a Canadian tuxedo. You're gonna say I'm glazing. You're gonna say I'm dragging it. There's just no way it's on accident. He thinks out everything. That's why he's the GOAT. He dissed you all year. He had a number one song calling you up all year. You make fun of him saying, oh, whenever he raps, just give him a Grammy, ha ha ha. And they actually did it. He won like four tonight. And when he won Record of the Year, he got up on stage in a Canadian tuxedo. Jean on jean on jean. He's wearing a jean hat. You've never seen someone wear this much jean since Bob the Builder. And you're telling me that's on accident? Also, like the two biggest Canadian artists have been boycotting the Grammys for years until tonight when The Weeknd just decided to come perform to push his album. Drake is never coming to the Grammys again. He's pretty much already said that, but like this is definitely solidified. Like, bro, bad night for Drake. I'm not gonna lie. It's a bad night for the boy. And then Kendrick's gonna perform at the Super Bowl. Like,
is the shade shady?
Shady. I was in there for the award show, and to see Taylor Swift dancing like crazy to like Schmetta Smile and all the Drake stuff, I'm like, oh my God, he has the whole room just shading him.
Well, Beyonce dancing to Not Like Us, Taylor Swift dancing. I mean, even Blue Ivy was dancing to Not Like
Everybody.
Us.
Everybody.
That means at the Carter household, Jay is blasting that thing through all of their speakers, even in the outdoor and indoor pool. Well, look, finishing off the night strong was Beyonce, who won Best Country Duo Performance with Miley Cyrus. Let me give her a round of applause. And then she won Best Country Album. And then she won Album of the Year. Listen, Cowboy Carter, not my favorite album. But I will say this, there will be no Beyonce slander because she deserves the award. Beyonce, who now has, I believe, 35 Grammys, the most Grammys of any artist living or not living, deserved to have an album of the year for Lemonade. Lemonade should have won this. I even think Renaissance could have won album of the year because it really was a phenomenal album with purpose, and the tour was phenomenal. I went to it. Cowboy Carter, I understand why she won. One, because, you know, they voted for it. I also think that it was one of those, like, let's just give it to her so she'll go away award, I think. And the album, though, did have a lot of purpose and meaning to it. And there was a lot of depth to how strategic and smart it was. It just wasn't, to me, her best album. So to honor her with the biggest award for an album that was not her best body of work was almost like just to kind of like, let's just give it to her. Like, let's just give it away. Like Halloween candy, just go. But I'm glad that she got it. And I when she won Album of the Year, I was like, you know what? The Grammys did everything right this year, including that.
And you could tell the Grammys did not want no smoke, because before every award, they were like, and according to the 13,000 voting members of the Academy, according to 13,000, they kept saying that. I'm like, oh my God, they don't want no smoke of the fall. But yeah.
No, we talked about it before, and we both predicted that she wouldn't get it, but that was just because we expected them to do as they normally do. But like I said, I listen to this album in the gym all the time, so I absolutely loved Cowboy Carter, so I'm glad she got it. And
this is not a gym album.
It is. It could. Listen,
Rob, that is not
Rob,
a gym album.
This is not a gym album.
You don't get to tell me what a gym album is. I listen to it in the gym.
16 carriages. Yes, in the gym.
I will pump it to. I will pump it to slow music, fast music. I don't have to have a like heart racing.
We're not asking what you'll pump it to. We're asking what you work out to.
I work out to the Cowboy Carter album all the time. I work out to Cowboy Carter. I work out to a lot of different albums. So, but this is one of the ones in my rotation at the gym. So I'm glad she won. I was screaming and jumping up and down. So go Beyonce. And I absolutely think the Grammys got it right. Even with the Quincy Jones tribute, yep. It's just all around.
And I love how they had the fire chief and everybody give her award.
I love how The Weeknd came back and reunited with the Grammys. Yes. I texted him that I was happy to see him there, and that his performance and all that was great with everybody on stage. Look, again, not my favorite Beyonce album, but I love Beyonce. And I'm grateful for her that she was able to have that honor, because she's worked hard. I mean, this is probably the best living performer that we have and have ever had. You can argue that over lunch. But anyway, congratulations to Beyonce. But when Cowboy Carter was announced as Best Country Album, she was shocked. And that video has gone viral all over the world. And I have to tell you, if she would have kept on moving, it would have been like Lil' Kim's dance. Take a look. This was her finding out. And, you know, play that one more time. It's good to see the human side of Beyonce, because this is her being a human. Or media trained to act like she was a human when she got in. Well, B wasn't the only one with a big reaction. Check out Glorilla. And before I show you this video, Glow, you know damn well you was doing too much, but it was cute to see you fangirling. Take a look. I've never yelled like that at a concert. Have you?
No.
Have you?
No.
Yeah, I think it's a yes. I think you're lying.
I haven't. I don't yell like that. I don't even yell like that in movies, but I love Glow. I could
see Jill doing this at a Taylor Swift concert.
Oh, absolutely. Well, she's boohooing.
Crying and all that weird shit.
Yeah.
I would feel so out of place if somebody filmed me doing that. Like, can you imagine you saw me at a Mariah Carey concert and I'm screaming like that?
You weren't even doing that at the Mariah concert.
I don't do that at any concert. Now, even now, Beyonce is, of course, I'm dancing. Yeah. I live because she's phenomenal dancing. Yeah. But I ain't doing that.
Well, I was screaming like that where I was. So maybe I would have.
You scream like that at the Abbey.
I was screaming like that at when I watched it live.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was. I was. I'm not going to lie.
You should be embarrassed. Well, shout out to Glow for showing love, though, because it does show that I love the humility. One thing I will say with Glow, we've been on her about coming on the show. We've been in lots of group texts. Mm-hmm. I text Glorilla. I said, when you get to the Grammys, make sure you stop by Hollywood Unlocked. She said, okay. Now, I don't be thinking what's going on in these people's world, because they're probably really busy too, jumping off planes, kids, whatever. Not she have kids, but you know, there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. So they walked by us on the carpet, and Marina texted in the group chat and said, Glorilla walked by. I start group texting everybody, and they FaceTimed me, and she was walking back to Hollywood Unlocked, and she said, I'm going back just to talk to your people. Take a look.
Yeah, Glow, we are with the amazing Glorilla.
Hey.
You look beautiful and you're nominated. How does it feel?
I feel good. You know, I'm a winner at the end of the day. So.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Well, we can't wait until you win. So now we're playing this cute little trending TikTok game. It's called We Listen and We Don't Judge. Okay? I'm going to say We Listen and We Don't Judge. I'm going to share one crazy or fun thing. So we listen and we don't judge. Let's hear it.
We listen and we don't judge. I'm going on a fast tomorrow and it consists of no sex, so I'm trying to get bonked tonight.
Hey! Okay, we listen and we don't judge. Now, when are you coming on the Jason Lee show?
Soon. I'm trying to feed it into the schedule. I got him. He know he my dog.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to that. Before I let you go, Beyonce announced her tour. And you know you are a Beyonce fan.
Right.
Are you going?
You know I am.
Okay.
Come on now.
Period.
I'm there. Like swimwear.
Okay. Well, we love you. Thanks so much for stopping by.
For sure.
And you're going to take home that win, okay?
Thank you.
Period.
So that was a cute moment. She was cute.
She came back after, shout out to her, because she came back after the carpet was closed. You could tell her feet hurt because she was like racing back to us. And she was like on the phone with FaceTime with you. Like, I'm here.
Yeah.
We already started breaking down the set, but she, shout out to her.
Yeah, I'm so proud of Glow. And Glow's still maintaining all of her. She's a very humble girl. So shout out to you, Glow. Well, if you thought Beyonce's album of the year win was given to appease her and her husband, Jay-Z, like I do. Remember, he slammed the Grammys last year. Beyonce's father, Matthew, said that Hov's speech had nothing to do with it. It's simply just B's talent and work ethic, which is what she told Entertainment Tonight after her win. She also talked about making history and reminded people of country music's history, because for some of us that didn't know, we started that shit. Look.
It's very surreal. And it's been 25 years of just working really hard and trying my best to keep growing and keep opening up doors. So I'm just very honored. Very honored.
Congratulations. And take
happy
this as well.
My daughter got to see that.
You know, it was great that she was there with you and you took her up on stage. She's so grown though now. She is so grown.
Taller
so
than me. I don't like it at all. Well, the banjo has a deep history.
Yes.
And I just feel honored to reintroduce some of that history that I think has been lost, and very, very honored that I got the response and the open heart and people welcomed the album. The love I got from the country community tonight really made me feel so seen, and I'm very grateful. Hopefully they continue to open up the world for people that just love and respect the genre. No matter where they come from, everybody should be invited. So,
thank you, Beyonce. Congratulations. Blue Ivy is damn tall. Mm-hmm. She's talking about, I'm glad Blue Ivy could witness this. She everywhere you at. Mm-hmm. The other kids be at home. Where are the other kids?
At home.
At home on the iPad.
They're rich. Somebody's holding the iPad for them. All right, that's it. I'll be at the Grammys next year. All right, listen, Donald Trump. This is what I will tell everybody. People keep asking me for my opinions in the comments. Jason, we want to know what you think about this. I don't think about anything because I'm too busy with everything I have going on and finding the balance in my own life. I refuse to let Donald Trump subscribe me to fear-mongering, hate, anxiety, and I'm not going to disturb the peace that I spend a lot of time in therapy achieving, okay? But Donald Trump has a lot going on, so we're just going to give you some updates. The last episode of the show, we talked about Donald Trump waving adios to DEI and migrants. Despite attacking DEI these past few weeks, on February 1st, Trump acknowledged Black History Month with a lengthy proclamation page on the White House website. Take a look. I'm not going to read all this, but basically he's saying it's Black History Month. Now, I went over to Facebook and I talked about how happy I was that it was Black History Month and being Black and this. And a lot of people in my own hometown, and they don't look like me, had a lot of negative to say about Donald Trump, me saying that Donald Trump was taken from our history. What I was saying wasn't that he wasn't going to do a post like that one acknowledging Black History Month, which is a month that he can't take away. It's the fact that DEI and all the things that Black people fought for, all of our Black ancestors died for, all our Black civil rights leaders fought for, have been taken away and are being stripped daily by this man. So when I say that, if you're a MAGA person, then that's, you're just going to stand 10 toes down on this terrorist, regardless of what I say or regardless of what he does. So for those people, I don't really give a shit what you have to say. For those people that understand what I was trying to say, or what I actually said, was that the dismantling of the Black history that we are celebrating is what's happening right now by a person that you all are saying, look, he said happy Black History Month. I'm convinced now some people are just stupid. And to argue and go back and forth, this is not just for my city, this is for the whole country. There's a lot of you that are just stupid and you just don't want to believe that you did the wrong thing. Now I know what's happening. You all attacking me and gaslighting me is because somewhere deep down inside, probably like your father that left you, you feel guilty. I'm not going to be the bearer of all your trauma because you made a bad mistake. All your friends that are leaving their jobs, afraid to come to work because they are immigrant, your fault. All the women who are dying in our country because they can't get an abortion and there's an issue wrong with their baby, your fault. There's a problem with one of your family members that was born in this country, but now they don't have the birthright citizenship because it's under attack. Your fault. Gay, trans, oh, your favorite drag queen ain't coming to Hamburger Mary's on the weekend. Your fault. All of it is your fault. So don't bring your trauma over here because I didn't vote for him. And what I ain't going to do is be gaslit to be mad either. You know why? Because y'all voted for him. Ain't that, is that fair?
Absolutely.
Because ultimately, when I see all the things that you all are seeing in your own real time, in your own real eyes, this is something that he put forth in his agenda from the beginning. The thing that you have to respect about Donald Trump, if you respect one thing, he tells you who he is. He tells you who he is. All the charges tells you who he is. All the tax evasion or games he's, or I don't want to say tax evasion. Let me go back.
Allegedly.
All the alleged tax discrepancies that he's had or lawsuits that he's had about racism as a landlord. Oh, he's showing you who he is. And so why be mad now that he's doing what he said he was going to do? We told you about Project 2025. I even told you to download ChatGPT and put it in there to get a summary. But you were too lazy TikToking and listening to your favorite rapper. Take that, take that. Well, now you're going to take it. Trump then came for the gays, all the LGBTQIA through Z pluses. And he said he was going to sign an executive order. And he did, changing military policy, including bans on transgender people. So he doesn't want them as service members in the military. And he also ordered that all federal workers need to remove their pronouns from their email signatures. So if you were he, her, she, them, they, then, thou art loosed, you have to take it off your signature. And he signed an order officially banning transgender athletes from participating in women's sports. So if you are a trans woman, but you were born a man, he sees you as a man, you're no longer anywhere in between or there or that. You're just whatever you were born as. Is that a good summary so far? Mm-hmm.
Doing a great job.
At the Grammys, Don Lemon talked to us about Trump's constant flooding of orders, and this is what he had to say.
You know, Trump being back in office, what is your take what the country is heading in with him back in office, especially rolling back all these policies?
You know, we're heading in a bad direction. He's not a good dude. He's just bombarding us with just stuff, mm-hmm. right, every day. And I think that's a distraction from the things that they are doing behind the scenes that are really detrimental to the country. Everybody, the media is paying attention to this. He did this. He tweeted that. He did that. Oh, my gosh, this thing he signed. And a lot of that stuff he knows he can't do. But mm-hmm. he's just doing it for show to distract you, distract the American people from what's important to us. And we can't be distracted.
Speaking of distractions, how can we move forward knowing that, you know, something big is happening right now?
You have to, especially mm-hmm. black people.
Yes.
We're used to adversity. Mm-hmm. So I just think we have to pull from the strength mm-hmm. of our ancestors who built this country and know within ourselves that we're good and we're going to be good on the other side of this. There's always
Absolutely.
Another side. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that we have to protect yourself, mm-hmm. self-care. Turn off the notifications. Don't sit in front of the television all day and get outraged by it. Just, you know, take in what you can take in and pay attention to the important things. And then to the important stories that you need to take
yes.
care of. But then take care of the important things in your life, like family and loved ones, God, mm-hmm. some good cooking. Mm-hmm. And
I
that's
can't
it.
Cook, so.
All right, so hearing Don say that he thinks it's a distraction, what do you think?
I absolutely agree with him. One, I think DEI is just a dog whistle for us, for black people, even though, again, like we talked about before, we're not the ones who usually benefit from it. And like he said, him signing these executive orders really doesn't do anything. It's just him rallying up his base because he knows at the end of the day, a lot of these people are just motivated by that negative idea or energy that they're losing something to us. So that's motivating them. I had a guy show up in my DMs, somebody who I knew very well. I used to work with this guy named Brandon. He's in my DMs saying all kind of racist, crazy stuff to me. So people are showing their true colors because he's emboldening them to. So I think we should just like take a breath, pay attention, and move forward in the best way we possibly can.
I mean, the dog whistling is a genius thing, mm-hmm. right? Because he is using it to rally people up to fight for the thing they want to only be let down because they can't. And then it goes, see, that's why we need him there to fight for us. Mm-hmm. In the midst of all this, still talking about getting a third term and changing our Constitution, which is crazy.
Insane.
Listen, Trump is also putting Americans at high risk for higher prices as he ushers in the U.S. into a trade war. Now, he slapped 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico and 10% on China, which resulted in Canada firing back with their own 25% tariffs and Mexico creating steep retaliatory tariffs, too. Now we're learning that the U.S. Postal Service is temporarily banning incoming packages from China. So all your Temu, all your Shein products, they going back. And Hong Kong is Trump's tariffs go live. People can't get their Temu. They about to be pissed.
Yep.
Big man.
And I don't even know what Temu is.
What?
And they Temu going triple in price.
I just had a friend tell me Temu ain't Temuing. And Alibaba, where is that? Okay. Well, either way, Trump tried to pause all federal funding as his administration reviews spending. So let me tell you how this affected me. I was at the city council meeting. Somebody came in for a program that's called REACH. And it's something that helps, and I'll just sum it up, it helps to get healthy foods to some of our black and brown communities that need it the most. It's a federally funded program. Well, when he stopped it at such a, like with no notice, all agencies had to send out notices that they were immediately ceasing funding. So it created a sense of hysteria. And now this has sparked widespread hysteria over Elon Musk. And now that he's the head of DOGE, which stands for Department of Government Efficiency, not to mention that he has a coin, a crypto coin called Deutsch, whatever. Deutsch is actually the ethnicity group that Rob is in love with. Well, getting now, that means that he would get access to the Treasury's payment systems, including Social Security, Medicare, and all other sensitive and financial information belonging to the American people, us. Now, when asked about Elon's access, Trump, of course, he played it off. This is what he said. He's got access to letting people go if we agree with him. He's found a lot of waste, fraud, abuse, and bad spending. But Elon can't do and won't do anything without our approval.
It was all a lie.
Do you believe that?
No.
Y'all voted for it. Trump also threatened to cut funding off for South Africa. Now, this is where Elon Musk is from. This is his native country. And has also proposed the U.S. take full control of the Gaza Strip, which is a war crime, number one. But what is that? It's another genocide, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, he's displacing all of the people and then assuming that he can just take over sovereign territory from people who live there and say the United States owns it.
And suggesting he'll take it over and relocate the folks, all the Palestinians that are still there, to neighboring countries. He'll just put a couple in Egypt, put a little over here.
Yeah.
Who says that in America? Donald Trump. But again, y'all voted for it. Some of you are saying, you know what? We don't care. Let him do what he wants in Gaza. What happened to him getting the price of eggs down, fixing the price of gas, right, or getting you better jobs, or all the other things he promised you? None of this Gaza, none of this was a part of the plan that he so, but y'all bought into it. This is what he said about Gaza. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out and create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of that area. But what about the housing and jobs in this area? Mr. President, what about the needs in Stockton, California? We'll take some support. Well, you know, the other thing I found interesting was him inviting the president or the leader of Israel into the White House and having this conversation that, I mean, in the White House.
And he clearly didn't have that conversation with Benjamin Netanyahu beforehand because he looked completely surprised that he said America's going to own Gaza. Like, he was just kind of like,
which could lead us into a war with Israel,
with the Middle East. Yeah.
It's just like they have been fighting over this land for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and you can't just say like, oh, we fix it, we're just we'll gonna take the unexploded
bombs.
We'll
build a Trump hotel over there.
Yeah,
that's the plan.
He think it's Vegas.
100%. Right, and you can't rename Gulf of Mexico Gulf of America. Like, what?
He's doing that. He told Google.
Right.
He tried.
What in the geography is going on?
That's called white privilege.
Yep.
Keep me out of it.
Okay. Well, anyway, bye. Speaking of white privilege, let's get into black privilege. This black woman is over in Pakistan and she is acting a damn fool. And everybody is laughing in the room because everybody knows who she is. Why do we know you? Why do we know you? But more importantly, why are we invested in you? Okay. Oneha Robinson, this woman from Brooklyn. I don't even have to read this because I already know because I posted her today. Have you been seeing her?
Yes, oh my God. She's an American icon.
Wait, but how is she taking over our feed?
She's my new Halloween costume. I'm sorry.
Rob, I'm telling you right now.
You're going to put the concealer over the eyebrows?
Rob, if you dress up like her, you're fired.
Skinny eyebrows, everything.
Not the hijab, too.
An American woman from New York, from Brooklyn, has been admitted into a psychiatric hospital after flying to Pakistan to marry a 19-year-old man. And this plan failed. So in October 2024, this 33-year-old woman right here named Nicki Minaj, Andrew Robinson, flew to Karachi, Pakistan to marry that 19-year-old. And his name was Nadal Ahmed Mamoun. Well, she met him online and flew over there. But when she got there, her Onija's wedding plans fell through as the guy's family disapproved. So he broke up with her, leaving her stranded at the airport. Now, look, I ain't gonna lie. She needs an Academy Award.
Bad.
Because if you get stuck in another country and you ain't got no way out, this is exactly how you raise the money to do it. Now, it's reported that a non-governmental organization offered Onija a return ticket to the United States and some financial support. But she was like, I don't need that because I got a plan. I'm going to take over and build the country and I'm going to hold press conferences and I'm going to do my own thing. So instead of waiting for Lemuel Plummer and the Zeus Network to show up, she just refused to leave Pakistan and began demanding money from the Pakistani government. Now, here are some of her demands. I have to warn you. Extremely funny. Take a look.
Okay, first of all, what's your name?
Onija Ahmed.
Okay, where are you from?
I'm from Pakistan.
You are not from Pakistan?
Yes, I am.
You born in Pakistan?
No, but I'm from here.
You born where?
I'm from here.
You from here? Mm-hmm. Okay, right now, what's your demands?
I want 20K up front, 5K to 10K to stay here every week because we might just move, me and my family. And I want those demands from the government right away. I want these houses to be built up correctly. And I want pools in the backyard. And I want these demands to be straightened out right away. I want power in the building correctly. And I want everything to be fixed right away.
What's the reason against your demands?
These reasons because these people should not be suffering like this.
Why you are not going to America again?
Because my job is done there. I own a business out there.
Why you are not going to New York again back?
Because I'm moving my business to Dubai.
You have money?
I have money, yes.
How much?
Right now I got 12 or 13K.
12 or 13K dollars?
Yes.
Okay, where is your money?
You want to see my money?
Yes.
Hold up. One thing I got to say.
Okay. Relax.
Jenna International owed me $36,000 and I want my money. This is just half of my money.
This is not a dollar. This is Pakistani currency.
This is converted in from USD to Pakistan.
They are fraud.
They fraud with me. I want my $36,000 from Jenna International Airport right away. Else I'm suing the whole building.
In Pakistan, you have any family?
I have family out here in Pakistan.
Where is your Pakistani family?
It's private.
It's private. And where is Ahmed?
Who?
Ahmed?
That's private.
Nidal?
Private.
It's also private?
Against my religion.
Okay. You know Nidal?
Private.
No, just ask her.
Give me
yes 20K
up front.
Yes or no?
And I think about it.
That was just one of so many videos. Now, when you saw the video for the first time, what did you guys think?
I thought this was an SNL skit. I was very confused. But I am obsessed with her. I cannot stop watching her.
I was like, if you want to figure out how to become instantly famous overnight, this is the blueprint.
She's going to be a SNL character.
Oh, 1,000%.
Well, meanwhile, Jeremiah Robinson, a young man claiming to be Onaiza's son who lives in America, says that she has mental health issues and that her failed love story is fabricated. He claims Onaiza planned to return home 2 weeks after her trip but failed to do so. He also claims that he and his brother tried to convince her to come home, even booking her a flight, but she said, nah, I'm too famous. Take a look at what he said.
I'm the son of Onaiza Robinson. My name is Jeremiah Robinson. This is proof of my birth certificate with her name and my name. I've seen on the news in Pakistan that she was on the news about a love story and falling apart. And I just want to say none of that is true. Her and Nidal knew each other before she went to Pakistan. She was only supposed to go to Pakistan to meet him and his family and just a vacation. When it was time for her to come back after the 2 weeks, I was trying to convince her to come back. She refused. Then Nidal did not ditch her and she was supposed to return back January 15th when Nidal had booked her ticket.
Well, since all of her viral antics, international reports reveal that Onaiza Robinson has been admitted into a mental health facility for her safety and well-being. Now, she has reportedly undergone an MRI scan as part of ongoing psychological assessments at Jenna Postgraduate Medical Center. A spokesperson said the final results of the exams will determine the condition of her mental health. Now, as she remains in the facility, Onaiza is being protected by security guards and local police because she's a star. But she seems unfazed by the lockdown. Here she is dancing in the hallway. Take a look. I can't. Rob, that's what you're going to dress up for Halloween?
I'm getting a bicycle shirt, though.
I can't.
Yes.
You know what? We should play Not Like Us by Kendrick. You know what? Meanwhile, it's reported that since Onaiza's viral moment, another man has offered to marry her, even asking permission from his wife if it's okay. Now, if she says yes, Onaiza would need to fully convert religions and cultures and everything and give up her little dance for TikTok, which is giving her the money right now. should what she's doing be illegal? I don't think so.
No.
I bet you they like it too. This has put Pakistan on the map, on the honey. Map. Yes.
I mean, people have said, like, I never even knew what was going on in Pakistan. They're doing full-ass conferences, media conferences and everything.
They should have been hosting the AP News booth because they interview better than that girl interview Babyface.
Onaja, I would like you to host the red carpet at the Hollywood Unlocked Impact Awards.
Oh, my God. Please, please, God, please.
Well, not officially. She could be on the carpet for Zeus Network. Yes. For Zeus.
We got to get her a blinged out bicycle top.
Oh, please.
Yeah, and put Hollywood Unlocked in be a Hollywood Unlocked bike.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It's too much. Mm-hmm. Well, she definitely has had some makeup alterations. The all white clown makeup. What is that? Is that?
It's just here. That's why I want to know what that. What is that?
It's like, I don't know what it is.
Maybe she put on some powder for
it's
the
like
TV.
Concealer, yeah.
Or like
when she told the man to shut up, she said, "You talking too much." I said, "Yo, how you go over to a country you don't know and just take control?" She took control of like world media.
My favorite is still when she said, "I need $2,000 for my liposuction," and then she turned to 3,000.
Oh, you know what's crazy? She gonna get it too.
She is.
You think? Yeah, I don't know.
I promise you this: she's gonna have a Fashion Nova deal at some point. They need to put her on a Zeus baddie show somewhere.
Just I see her being a baddie.
Right. Okay. Bye. Well, my friend Wendy Williams is back in the news, and she's blasting her Guardian yet again. I talked to Wendy yesterday too, by the way, and she, again, sounds healthy, sounds great. Still not free. You know, there was this video that went viral. I don't know if you saw where Harvey was interviewing her. She was in the window crying. It was really sad to watch. And we're still on the Free Wendy movement. But anyway, last time we spoke out about Wendy, I had just interviewed her and her niece, Alex Finney. And they had started the whole Free Wendy campaign. That came right after she did the interview with our friend Charlamagne at the Breakfast Club. And this is when, you know, she started this movement to make sure that it was clear that she was denying that she had dementia and cognitive decline claims that the guardianship had made. And remember, she put her, or we put her guardian, Sabrina Morrissey, all the way on blast because people had not heard her name and we continue to say it so that way we know who's responsible for keeping Wendy locked away. Mm-hmm. Well, during our phone call, which you can go check out on the Hollywood Unlocked YouTube channel, Wendy got emotional over concerns that she might be locked up and kept from flying to Florida to see her father and celebrate his 94th birthday. We all know that Wendy was very close to her parents. We used to see them regularly on the show. Her mother has since passed away, and her father, who's 94, lives all the way in Miami where her son is. Well, since then, we've learned that Wendy has been granted permission, finally.
Yeah.
The fact that we're clapping for somebody to just be able to see their family. Yeah. Tonight. She's been given permission by the court to leave her luxury prison apartment at a New York facility and fly to go see her father in Miami. Now, 2 days before the approval, Wendy reportedly fired her court-appointed lawyer, Linda Redlisky, because she allegedly neglected to submit the necessary paperwork to start a trial to challenge her conservatorship. Now, Wendy's blasting her guardian, Sabrina Morrissey, again, notably for getting her tangled up in a lawsuit with Lifetime and A&E. Now, here's what Wendy told our friends at the Breakfast Club. Listen.
There's this lawsuit with Lifetime and A&E, and yep. I've been told I stand to win $20 million.
Now, what was the, let's refresh people on what the lawsuit was. What was the lawsuit, Lauren?
The lawsuit was that four-part thing starring me on TV, which I only watched once, and I will never watch again in life. It was disgusting. I was, you know, to do that TV thing, it was two people who I won't say their names, but I can say one white woman and one black man.
Okay, and I read the court documents. You're talking about Sabrina Morrissey and Will Selby.
Anyway, they brokered, I don't know, a deal on behalf of me. Mm-hmm. And what kind of deal? I have no idea. I guess the clothing, the location, the money, you know, the money is blood money. It's money I don't want. Look, I'm dealing with these court people and my guardian person. And that is the big deal. So you know what? I don't have frontal temporal dementia. You know what I'm saying? It's disgusting. That is a very rare thing for anybody to have. I am not incapacitated. I am not a baby. You know what I'm saying? But I guess for Lifetime A&E, I stand to win all that money, so I'm supposed to be a blubbering idiot. You know what I'm saying?
So what you're saying, Wendy, is the lawsuit that was filed by Sabrina Morrissey, acting in her capacity as your guardian, she brought a lawsuit against A&E, and it claimed that the contract the company brokered to shoot the documentary wasn't valid. She's saying you didn't have the legal or mental capacity to authorize your participation. You're saying you did.
And that you met one time, and after that you changed your mind?
Correct. And by the way, you know, like I said, I don't want that kind of money. You know, I've worked with Lifetime several times. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Enough that I would love to do something with Lifetime again. They are good people to me.
Listen, after Wendy blasted Sabrina and denied having frontotemporal dementia, she fired back and requested a new medical evaluation, including comprehensive neurological and psychological testing, which would prove and provide facts and transparency regarding Wendy's whole mental health capacity and the lies that we've been told. We'll be able to see right through those. However, Sabrina doesn't think the results would change as Wendy's legally been deemed incapacitated by her conservatorship, Judge Lisa Sokoloff. You know, I talked to Wendy, and the one thing Wendy wanted to make clear was that when she did the whole A&E project, that Sabrina had to sign off on it. Mm-hmm. So it's not like she did this on her own. And if you were caring for her and you knew that there was some, or you thought that there was some
allegedly
thing wrong with her, why would you let it happen? Mm-hmm. Do you find it odd that somebody could be just ripped off the streets, away from their family, kept away, and had all their money taken from them the way that Wendy has?
Yeah, I think it's completely unfair that the system is set up to allow this to happen and allow these people who are not associated with her, these people who are not her family, to benefit off of her financially, because they at this point have no desire for her to get better. They have no desire for her to be in a situation where she is better, because it doesn't do anything for them. So this is just so unfortunate.
And I love these sprinkled random interviews popping up, because for so long I'm like, oh my God, she probably gave up. Like, they just locked her away and threw away the key and she's probably giving up. But now she's like fighting and she's really determined to
get out. We can't call her. I would do a daily diary with Wendy, but I would call it, but she has to call me, and my phone doesn't let unknown calls through. So she keeps calling me from that phone that's you can't call me. So let's do what we have to do and come together and collectively get Wendy out by sharing the hashtag Free Wendy. Get it out, get it out, get out. I'll be on Nightline some point between now and Thursday. Just keep checking. I think it's Thursday.
The 13th.
The 13th. You can check it out. I'll be there talking about Free Wendy all over the globe. We want to make sure everybody knows. Get Wendy out. Let's go. Okay. Bye, Wendy. You got to go now. Did he do it? Did he not do it? It's another lawsuit. Every day, it's another lawsuit. I wake up every morning and I see Diddy's face in a tuxedo, and I know it ain't his birthday. It's because another charge has happened, and my team keeps choosing these nice-ass formal photos of him that where he looked good, but that ain't how he look right now because he's in jail. Diddy, who is a federal criminal case in New York right now, plus more than 30 other civil lawsuits against him, is back in the news this week with more accusers. Since September 2024, Puffy has been in federal custody in Brooklyn waiting for a trial. Now, the trial is not going to happen until May, so we're going to keep reporting on this until he gets there. And I think it's on Cinco de Mayo. So while we out celebrating my Latino brothers and sisters, we also going to be celebrating the first time we get to see Diddy in Orange. Well, in the meantime, a former assistant named Philip Pines appeared in a new episode of the Fall of Diddy docuseries and shared alleged voice notes of Diddy demanding drugs. Listen.
What do you require for a Wild King night?
We usually had a laundry list of items that included lights, alcohol, marijuana, ketamine, molly. We have mushrooms on the top there. Baby oil and astroglide were very important. Candles, incense, Apple TVs, electronics, computers, iPads. Obviously there was, you know, male libido supplements, stuff like that. Those requests started to become more frequent. They started to occur on a daily basis. There was a requirement. We had to keep those things stocked.
Phil, can you come back upstairs to help me set up the red light?
I would get a lot of voice notes from Diddy.
How often?
Daily, hourly, every 5 minutes, every 5 seconds.
Would you ever be asked to bring things to Diddy during a Wild King night while it was ongoing?
Yeah, for sure.
Phil, I need some Cialis.
Can you give me 20 Xanax, please?
Hey, Phil, I need a plan B.
I need 10 Adderall.
The mushroom capsules, the microdose. Can you bring that out to me, please?
What would you see when you would go into the room?
There wouldn't be anything happening while you were walking into the room.
But there would be people there.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about who the guests were?
A lot of times it was girls who were a little bit under the radar that didn't have a lot of influence. I think that speaks to the type of situations people were put in. You know, a lot of times you'd have him with a younger female. And there's a power dynamic there.
I didn't hear anything crazy. Let me go through it. And Rob, you've been guilty of it. Astroglide.
What is that?
Hold on. Astroglide. That is lube. You've had it.
Yeah.
Mushrooms.
Yeah.
Molly.
Yeah.
Adderall.
Yeah.
Plan B.
No. But I mean, PrEP.
Yeah.
But doxycycline.
But I'm
doxy.
Not, yeah.
Okay, but I'm saying, what do we hear in that list of things? He said younger girls. He didn't say minors. That's the thing they try to get Jason dates them young. I date younger. There's nothing wrong with that. Wait. A male enhancing libido. Have you ever tried Black Rhino?
No.
Have you ever had the Honey Pack?
Yes.
Okay, so we've tried the Honey Pack. If you go to my room right now, I got three boxes, and it was sent to me by some man who's married to a woman that he don't want. Okay, what else? Is it? Can you have 3-4 people in your room at the same time?
Yeah.
Can you slip and slide with some baby oil if you want? They're making a lot out of nothing here, and I'm getting exhausted with it. Now, here's the deal. If he's using his position, and I'm not defending all the things that may be out there because we don't know what's going to come out. I'm just going down the checklist of all the things that we can find at your house that he just said he
those
can find.
Those are not all at my house, by the way.
They have been over time. You just said it.
I've used
okay,
those.
Now.
Are they at your house right now?
I've never done mushrooms.
There you go. That's
and
not a
I
bad thing.
I don't do Molly. But have I had a pass before I was elected? I mean, I've had a pass. but none of that is illegal. And again, I'm not defending Diddy. I'm literally just trying, because this is like a saga that's never ending. You know, by the way, you know what I was listening to when that assistant was talking? Clear out Andrew's desk. Let's find out where my assistant is, because I'm deleting all my audio notes. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure my assistant has seen more than one guest at my house at a time. I'm sure he's been in my room to put something away and looked in the drawer and said, oh my God, there goes the honey packs. But we don't do the weird shit that is out there about Diddy. And I didn't hear any weird shit in that commentary. Did you?
No, but I don't know if legally the weird stuff couldn't come out in the special. It has to exist. He's not just locked up because of the lube.
But again, that's my thing. Like, he also has a string of evidence that we've already seen and heard of him doing crazy things.
Right.
So this,
like what?
Beating up a woman in the hallway.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
But that was that. Can we break it down? Because I don't think we break it down. No, I think what you're saying is, and I'll let you finish, but what I think you're saying is there's all this stuff out there, but that's the thing. Everybody's using all this stuff to paint a picture. And I don't know that that's fair. Let me give you an example. You see her getting beaten. She's getting beaten. You can't argue that. He paid the hotel $50,000 not to share it and paid her $30 million to go away. So that's been taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we still talking about that?
But it's just, look, I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying in conjunction with that, he also already has a negative track record. So if I know somebody was eating people, and then I hear a voicemail from their assistant where they were asking them to get knife sharpeners and ketchup and mustard and salt and pepper in plenty packs, then I'm going to be like, some of this makes sense together. So it's like, at the end of the day, I understand that they're building a case out of things that are not necessarily connected, but...
You know why I've never worried about any rumor that's ever been out there about me? Because the only two people that they can subpoena that know me in and out is you and Andrew. And y'all know how I get down. You know the messiness, you know it all. And I don't get down in a way that would lock me up in prison. Now, here's what I know, right? Do I think Diddy's done a lot of weird shit? Probably some criminal activity. Probably threatened to kill a couple people too. Maybe even had somebody killed. Probably. We don't know, right? Because he's Diddy and we all know that he's out there. But for his assistant to list all of what he just said, lubricant, male libido helpers, weed, not illegal in California. First of all, it's illegal to privately record people and share private recordings. So that right there.
He wasn't recording. He said it was voice memos he was sending.
It's still illegal to release it without consent because it's a private recording. It's a private recording. Now, I would be interested to see if it isn't. I think I know that assistant, by the way. Hey, but either way, I just find it very ironic that you have all this material that you knew about and didn't think it was worth to take action before. Now, the person that's going to know all the real tea is his chief, who's missing. We ain't heard from her. She's somewhere gone. She's staying off the radar because she knows where all the bodies are. And if police seized all his digital assets, can we see the computer? Can we see where all these people were in his house? Who was in the bedroom? You may not see what's going on in the bedroom, but you see them walking in. I think it's a stretch. Now, as Philip was claiming on the surface, so do six more accusers of whatever was going on. Now, New York prosecutors in Diddy's federal RICO and sex trafficking indictment added two new female victims, alleging that he used force, threats of force, and coercion to cause victims, including but not limited to three women, to engage in commercial sex acts. Now, prosecutors also accused Diddy of dangling one of them over an apartment balcony. And they've also expanded the timeline of Diddy's alleged crimes from 2008 to 2004. They've expanded his kidnapping charges to include California and New York. And they've added two more drug substances to his alleged narcotic use and including something I can't pronounce.
Psilocybin.
Is that
what? Psilocybin.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a generic song.
You probably use it.
What the?
And methamphetamine. Now, as always, Diddy's lawyer, Mark Agnifino, I just made up a name. and Diddy's attorney, Mark Agnifilo. Agnifilo? How you say that?
Agnifilo?
And Diddy's attorney, Mark Agnifilo, slammed the new claims, and this is what he said. The latest indictment contains no new offenses. The prosecution's theory remains flawed. The government has added the ridiculous theory that two of Mr. Combs' former girlfriends were not girlfriends at all, but were prostitutes. Mr. Combs is as committed as ever to fighting these charges and winning that trial. I think I've heard that statement probably a thousand times now. Mm-hmm. Well, in addition to the two new women added to Diddy's federal sex trafficking indictment, another male accuser filing as John Doe is suing for sexual battery and conspiracy. Now, he's claiming while partying with Diddy in 2015, as an aspiring rapper singer, he was handed a drink with the date rape drug GHB, lost consciousness, and woke up to Diddy allegedly grabbing his genitals and performing oral sex on him. Ooh. Now, he said he tried to fight back, but Diddy allegedly threatened to end his career before it could even begin. Now, another John Doe, who worked as a male stripper back in 2007, alleges that Diddy coated his body with baby oil and that it had a substance in it that incapacitated him before. Why are you laughing? Can I finish telling the story?
It's just so much baby oil.
You're going to go viral for laughing.
I'm not laughing at the situation. I'm just
you shouldn't be laughing
at baby oil.
Right. You should be like so Marina. Well, the baby oil made him incapacitated before being sexually assaulted by Diddy then. Now, he's alleging that Diddy trapped him in a vortex of exploitation and fear, subjecting him to a relentless pattern of drugging, sexual assaults, death threats, clandestine recording, blackmail, and psychological manipulation. Then, two more women following as Jane Doe's alleged that they were raped by Diddy and others at his command during one of his parties at New York's Trump Hotel in the late 90s. Now, Diddy's lawyer, Mark, that guy, argues that every last accuser is a liar in a publicity stunt.
That's what they said before the Cassie video dropped, too.
Yep.
Shit.
It was all a lie.
Now, as all of these new allegations and accusers surfaced, it was also reported that Diddy was briefly hospitalized for knee pain. Diddy, who reportedly has a history of knee issues... You know what? I'm gonna get out of here.
See, everybody.
No, it's moments like this that I go viral and go, look, he's messy. I didn't tell the man to get on his knees. He older. I'ma just say it's due to being older. Ariel is messy for setting it up like this. Okay, the man got bad knees, y'all. He was admitted to a hospital and underwent an MRI because his knee was bothering him. He was treated and then sent back to jail in Brooklyn. Don't you wish we had music clearance rights where we can play On Bended Knee right now?
Hands on
your
knees.
Listen, Diddy, you in a world of trouble. I don't know what's going to happen. I know one thing, nobody's allowed to bring baby oil in my house. I never use it anyway, but like, I don't even like being coated in anything sticky like that. Cause then when you lay on your sheets, it'd be getting all dirty. And those of you who are using, you know, those pills that make your wee wee stay hard or the honey packs, keep using your thing. Ain't nothing illegal with that. If you do shrooms, that's your choice. If you smoke weed, it's legal. I don't think you should be doing Molly. And you know, I sometimes use Adderall to stay focused because I'm actually prescribed it. I'm not popping them like Rob. You know, again, those things, you know, dildos, all that kind of stuff, it's all legal. He got a lot going on.
A lot.
Wouldn't you hate to be the attorney having to unweave this web? Meanwhile, if the prosecutors call you to the stand and make you get on your knees, that's a reenactment that I'm going to be right there waiting to comment on. Anyway, bye, Diddy. It's time for thoughts and prayers. I got a headache. Don Lemon might be onto something when he suggested that Trump is treating us on the right while tricking us on the left. Now, there are too many executive orders, wild comments, and stunts being pulled for us to focus on what's really going on. But we're on to you, Agent O and X. Elon done swooped into the White House making demands just like Onaiza Robinson did over in Pakistan. How do we get him evaluated, too? The only person who actually doesn't need a mental evaluation is our girl, Wendy. Now, she's the most sane and sound mind out of all these people that we just talked about. Free Wendy! Now, there's no need for her to be locked up in New York like Diddy. And as the lawsuits keep on rolling in, his knees are just getting blown out. Speaking of blowouts, Kendrick Lamar did a whole sweep at the Grammys, and K-Dot and Mustard hit that stage just relishing in it. Take that. Well, meanwhile, Ye and Bianca only took that carpet by storm, coming into the Grammys to shut shit down with Bianca dropping draws and jaws. But Bianca wasn't the only B named. Queen B, she finally won Album of the Year, and it was refreshing to see as Chris Brown finally getting his well-deserved flowers and his second Grammy win. Congrats to Chris! Now come on the show so we could talk about it. Now in the meantime, I'm gonna go see what Onaiza's up to right now over there in Pakistan and tell him I want $20,000 a week. All right, that's it. That's the show. Follow us everywhere. Hollywood Unlocked streams, and make sure you're following us on the gram because we will be back with another flat episode. Peace.
The Jason Lee Podcast.